Welcome back to another glass of Shirley Fay. Today we are talking about a very requested topic, and that topic just happens to be sex. You guys requested it, and we're talking about it today. So I'm sitting here with Molly from Molly Ilza Photography once again, mostly because I can't get rid of her, and she's probably going to be on the podcast a few times in the next coming months because you guys love her. I'm not sure why.
Me neither.
So just want to preface by saying that we are going to be talking very openly about our sex lives, and what works for us might not work for you, and that's totally okay. But we're just going to sit here and have a conversation, and I hope that you guys enjoy it. All right, I don't think she needs to introduce herself again. I feel like you guys probably already know her all very well at this point, but drum roll, this is Molly.
Hello. I just want to put a quick side note in here. If you are my mother, my mother-in-law, or anybody related to me, you can shut this off right now.
Just press stop.
Press stop.
You do not need to listen to this episode.
Just walk away from your computer. Please walk away. Thank you so much.
So I think we want to start off by just kind of like talking about our relationships that we are currently in right now. So Molly is married and I am currently waiting to be engaged. That is my relationship status. Josh is currently downstairs and working, and he can totally hear me right now. But he also knows that I'm waiting to be engaged. So we're both in pretty healthy relationships. But that's not always been the case, throughout our teenage years and throughout just, well, I guess throughout the teenage years for you, because you've been with Joseph for a pretty long time.
So I got with Joseph almost 7 years ago now. It'll be 7 years this winter, and it will be 1 year married in September this year.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't know this, I actually married them. Not legally, but I did do their ceremony. So it was very cool. I've known them for quite a long time. Like ever since I've known Molly, she's always been with Joseph. So I've never known Molly without Joseph.
Yeah.
So they've been together for a pretty long time, and they've just always been a lot of fun. So how about you talk about when you guys were younger and how, like, how you guys got together?
Yeah, so it's a terrible story. I've never had a relationship before Joseph that wasn't toxic or abusive, I guess. And I only started dating when I was 14. First relationship was a disaster. He made all his friends call me and guilt me into dating him. And once I was in tears and finally agreed to it. And then that lasted, I think, for about a year and a half. And then I finally left him because he was so toxic and so abusive. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I started to. And that's when I left him. And you know what? I dumped him via text. Year and a half, and I was like, fuck you, you suck. And then after that, it was just basically a downward spiral of my life. I didn't even have real relationships. It was more just like friends with benefits after that, I guess, but they were all toxic. They were all abusive to some degree. And when I had met Joseph, it was literally a month after my last suicide attempt. And I had just gotten out of another abusive relationship where the guy beat me lots. And I had sworn off dating completely. I said, no more. I'm done. I can't continue like this. Like, everybody that I've been with is horrible and I can't do this. So I met Joseph. We went to a mutual friend's birthday party, and I actually wasn't going to go because I was not in the mood. I didn't want to show up. I had to work the next day. I was over it. And I went anyways, and I stayed for an hour and whatever. It was fine. But I saw him, and he was extremely intoxicated. Like, this boy was, like, high off his socks. Like, he was just on a whole other level. But a couple of friends that I came with, he ended up wearing the same T-shirt as one of them. So they ended up, like, hitting it off and talking. And I was kind of watching him, and I was like, okay, I know what I said, but he's cute. He's cute. I could get into that. And so I left that night and I added him on Facebook. And I think within a few weeks, we were officially together.
Oh my God. It's so funny. And that was like the beginning of like the Facebook world.
Yeah.
And the online dating world.
It really was. I would have never like found him had I not met him in person first. But yeah, we were 17 when we met. So
that's awesome. So I have a little bit of a similar story as Molly. When I started dating pretty young, but I had gotten into my first serious relationship with a guy that was pretty toxic, I would say. I'd gained a lot of weight at that point in time. And so he wasn't okay with the weight that I'd gained. And he made that known. And he made that known during our sex life, during sex. So I'd be, you know, on top and he'd be telling me that I was too heavy to be on top and that I was squishing him and that kind of stuff. And I didn't realize at that point.
You're just a pussy, actually, sir. So, like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a great relationship, but, you know, I feel like we all kind of have one of those in our lifetimes that do that to us. But I left him and got into another, even worse relationship. Yeah. So Molly actually met me when I was with this guy, and I was with him for almost close to 4 years. It was very abusive in every possible way, mentally, emotionally, physically. And that's going to be another episode. I'm going to be having an episode on domestic violence. I'm just not really sure when yet. So that was the relationship that I got into after my first serious one. And then after that, I was single for a little while, met a guy. He was significantly older than me. And I mean, yeah, he was living a double life. He was married. I didn't know that he was married. Still, he told me that they were separated. And it was just not a good time. We were together for about a year and a half, and I left him, and I was single for a little while, and then Josh came into the picture. So I actually met Josh at a wedding that I was shooting. It was the bride and the groom that introduced us. I was really good friends with the bride and the groom, and they were like, we have someone, like the groom, or the bride was talking to me, and she was like, I feel like you'd really like the best man. Like, I feel like you guys would really hit it off. Do you want to come to our rehearsal dinner? And you're not going to be working. You're not going to bring anything with you. You're just going to come to the rehearsal dinner as a guest. And I was like, sure. I was like, that's fine. Like, I'm not going to be working. It'll be fine. So get to the rehearsal dinner. And we hit it off at the rehearsal dinner. Like, I thought he was super cute. And again, he can hear me downstairs. So he's probably smiling like ear to ear right now. But we hit it off and we talked for like quite a while that night. And then the next day was the wedding. So I shot the wedding and we talked a few times that day, but it wasn't anything crazy. He also knew that I was working. But behind the scenes, so Josh worked in China for about 3 years and he was leaving on his flight to go back to China the day after the wedding, but it was pretty early. He was supposed to leave like during the night of the wedding to catch his flight in Fredericton because the wedding was in Edmonton. And so he had asked me to stay longer that night, and the bride and the groom had said, you know, you should stay longer, like just party with us. And I was like, you know, like I'll see how I'm feeling at the end of the wedding. So the end of the, like, it was time that I was going to be done. I think I was done around 10:30 or something like that. And I was just about to put my camera down. And then I looked over and he was dancing with one of the bridesmaids. And I was like, you know what? Fuck him. I'm not staying. I'm leaving. He can go back to China if he wants to. I don't give a shit. And I left and he didn't realize that I left. And he was apparently pretty upset that I left afterwards. So I left, went home, didn't really think anything of it. My best friend had come over that night and she was like, so like, did anything like happen? And I was like, no, like he's a fucking asshole. He was dancing with one of the bridesmaids. And that was it. So I didn't really think anything of it. And then a couple weeks later, I get a message from the bride and she was like, can I give Josh your number? And I was like, why? Like, it's not, nothing's gonna happen. He's back in China. Like, nothing's gonna happen. And she was like, just let me give him your fucking number. And I was like, okay, fine. So she did. And it took him a good 2 weeks to message me at that point. So when he did message me, we just kind of never stopped talking. We were texting all the time. And keep in mind, he was in China. So there was quite a bit of a time difference. There was, I think at the time it was like 11 or 12 hours or something like that. So I was staying up till like 3 a.m. to talk to him. He was staying up till 3 a.m. to talk to me. And we were trying to talk to each other as much as we possibly could. And so a few weeks after that, I would say like 5 weeks after that, he was like, I'm going to take a week off in December. Where do you want to meet in the world? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he was like, I'm going to take a week off, but I'm not going to come home. I want to meet you somewhere. I want to go and have a vacation with you. Where do you want to go? What have you always wanted to do? And just for shits and giggles, I said, I've always wanted to go to an elephant sanctuary. And he was like, okay, perfect. Let's go to Thailand. And I was like, you're fucking shitting me. Like, you're not, there's no fucking way you're bringing me to Thailand. And he was like, no, like, it's fine. And we talked about it a couple times, but I still thought that like, it wasn't going to happen. That he was just going to end up coming home. And then a few weeks later, I get an email notification that he had booked my flight to Thailand. And we ended up having our first kiss in the airport in Thailand. And we spent the week together there. And when I got back home, we just never stopped talking. And we bought a house 3 months later. And now I'm just waiting for a fucking engagement ring. That's where we're at right now. So, So now we're going to get into like the juicier part of the podcast. Okay. So this part is definitely R-rated. I'm just going to preface that right now. Yep. So Molly, tell me about like when you first started dating Joseph, like obviously you guys were super young. So what was that like for you? Because when you're young, you're not experienced and you think that 69 is the best, you know, sexual position in the entire universe when really you're just doing it because you're doing it as quickly as possible. Yep. And you just don't want your parents to find out. So yep. If you like 69, I'm really sorry, but anybody that I've talked to does not like it. So,
when I met Joseph, I had only ever slept with two other people before that, one man and one woman. And that was about it. I really didn't have any other experience. And let me just say, my entire teen years were spent completely drunk. So anytime I slept with anybody, it was, I was not sober. But it was consensual, so it's okay. So yeah, we met and he had only slept with one other person as well. And it was his ex and it was, you know, 3 minutes worth of missionary and that was about it. So we were both inexperienced. We both knew that we hadn't had the time to explore that side and whatever, but we knew for sure that we were going to be together forever. Like that was it for us.
And anybody that has met Molly and Joseph, like you would know that they're literally made for each other. And I've always said that ever since I met them, like they're so completely opposite people,
yep.
But they fit together so well. So when she told me this, and it really like, I was like, yeah, no, there's no way that you could be with anybody else that I could see with anybody else.
And it's true. And we knew that with each other, we were committed to each other emotionally and mentally. But then we had to talk about the physical side of commitment because we both knew we hadn't had those experiences. And personally for me, I feel that a reason a lot of people do end up cheating is because they want something new and they want something different and they want that thrill again that you lose during a long-term relationship. And I knew for me that that's not what I wanted, I guess, to happen in my relationship later down the line when it's been 20 years. And what if we get bored of each other? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that was the thing. So we really had to sit down and discuss like kind of how we thought about the physical side of things. And to my surprise, we were both very much so on the same page. So for us personally, how I kind of see things is that mentally and emotionally, I belong to him. We are together. We are committed to each other in that sense. However, physically, we do believe that our bodies are our own bodies. And we do believe that there's no such thing as, and this is very different for everyone, but there's no such thing as making love. It's just sex.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's kind of our view on it. So we had to have the discussion of like, okay, so what are we comfortable with as far as if we are going to be doing anything sexual with other people? And we did decide together that, you know, we were open to other experiences. We were open to each of us going off and having our own separate experiences, as long as there was a discussion that happened before this. So if there was something that I wanted to go do with somebody else, as long as I sat down with my husband and had that discussion and we made sure we were both on the same page about it, it would be fine.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So let's talk about a little story.
Oh no.
And this little story just happens to be the night that we were in Toronto.
Okay, that's not the story I thought you were going with there. Woo!
Woo! Okay. So me and Molly, when I met Molly, this was like something that we really vibed on was the fact that we were both like very open people. We've always really openly talked about sex within each other. And I've always been open with sex because my parents have always been open with me about it. So when I met her, and anybody that knows me knows that like one of my favorite topics is talking about sex, honestly.
Yeah.
I just love it. I think that it's like, it's considered like a quote unquote taboo topic when it really shouldn't. I think that we should be talking about it more.
Sex is and a so normal part.
It is a normal part. Life. Exactly. It's a normal part of life and it should be talked about so much more than it's talked about now. And it really shouldn't be considered taboo the way it is right now. I feel like it's getting a little bit better, but it's still considered quote unquote taboo. So I went through this like little phase of mine a few years ago, just like a couple years ago, like right before I met Josh. I didn't really go through like the college partying phase or anything like that. But I did go through a phase when me and Molly were hanging out every single day and she was sleeping over my house every single day that we went to the strip club a few times and I made out with a couple strippers and you know, like that was like quite the experience. And we decided that we were going to go to Toronto and we were going, what was the reason why we were going?
My surgery consult.
Oh, that's right. Okay. It was Molly's surgery consult.
Surgery consult, but make it fun.
Yes, exactly. So before her surgery consult, we decided that we were going to have a night of just pure entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so I had heard about this club in Toronto that is, it's a sex club.
Oasis.
It's called Oasis in Toronto. If you haven't been and you're open to this kind of stuff, please listen to the story. I think that you would really enjoy it. If you are open to this kind of stuff and you think that you would enjoy this, I think that you would enjoy this just because of the way that they run the club and the way that it's done. So this club in Toronto, it's called Oasis. It's a sex club. The women get in for $5 and the men get in for $60, I think it is.
Yes. And there's theme nights. So I think there were some nights where there was no men.
Yes.
There was some nights where it was couples only.
Yes. So this club is very much geared to women that are looking to explore their sexuality and couples that are looking to explore their sexuality together.
Yeah.
It's really not geared for the men going to prey on the young women that are coming to prey on, you know what I mean? It's really, it's not like that at all. And as soon as you walk in the club, they go through all the rules and they tell you that it's really not geared for men. It's really geared for couples and women. So when we went, we went through like tooth and nail on the website. I'm just like, okay, like this club seems too good to be true, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we walk in and we really weren't sure what to wear because it said on the website that you can be naked at any point.
Yeah.
Like they encourage the nudity, but you don't have to be naked. Yeah. And you can have sex anywhere in the club. Like literally you could have sex on the bar. You could have sex in the pool, like literally everywhere. So we got there and we decided that we were going to go wear lingerie. Mm-hmm. And then we walked in and there was like 100 people, probably more than that. And they were all naked.
There was one guy.
One guy that was completely clothed from head to toe. He was in a full suit.
Full suit with his glass of red wine.
Yeah. And just walking around. He was just having a good time. That's all. So basically the rules of this club is everything is obviously consensual. Like if something's not consensual, it's rape. Like it's, you know what I mean? Yep. So everything is consensual. You sign a waiver before you get in the club. And if you have to complain about anybody, if someone touches you or if someone even looks at you the wrong way, you complain about them and they're not allowed in the club for good. Like they're literally blacklisted from the club. They're not allowed back in. So we're like, okay, let's try it.
Yep.
So we get in, everybody's naked. So we obviously feel super overdressed at this point. So we still kept the lingerie on and we signed the waiver, went over the rules and we went upstairs. They gave us a locker and okay. So I'm going to give you like a visualization of how the club looked like. So you walked in, it was a four floors and you walk in, there's a pool on the main floor outside. It's heated. And the, I guess like the deck area is also heated.
Yeah. And there's
a bar
in the bathrooms.
A bar in the bathrooms. Yep. And showers on the main floor. The second floor is, there's just a bunch of rooms on like the second and third floor. And then the fourth floor is for, I think, VIP members only.
Yeah. So the
second... Not sure what goes on the fourth floor. We did not go to the fourth floor.
So the second and third floor was locker rooms. There was the BDSM room.
Yes. The dungeon, they called
it.
The
dungeon.
There was like a room that had like, it was like 70s theme. There's like a red room. Yes. There's like, just like different things. So like every floor had like different rooms that you could go in. Yep. Everything was made of leather. And there was also 3 to 4 cleaners on each floor that would go around and sanitize everything. Like every, I think it was sanitized every 15 minutes.
And there was also condoms, dental dams, everywhere. There were baskets like of just, them everywhere.
Yeah. And just baskets. And it's not something that you had to pay for. Like there were just baskets of them everywhere.
There was also sanitizing wipes everywhere as well if you wanted to sanitize anything or do anything like that. So it was a very clean, safe environment. It was
very clean. You guys are probably thinking this place is fucking disgusting. You walk in, there's like cum everywhere. Like just no, that's not the way that it was. It was very, very, very clean. Like clean to the point that we were both surprised how clean it was.
Yes. Yeah.
So we were just kind of walking around, and so we were in the hot tub, and we were the only 2 people in the hot tub. And then within 5 minutes, there was 15 fucking people in the hot tub.
Yeah.
And they were all talking to us, and they were just like so mesmerized that it was our first time, and they just wanted us to feel comfortable. And it was a mixture of men and women.
Yeah.
They were just all naked, all talking to us. And there's really just like something that takes away that barrier between 2 humans talking to each other when they're naked.
They're just naked. Yeah.
There really is really something that just like takes away that barrier. So all of these people were just like trying to make us feel super comfortable and telling us about the club. And like some people have been going here for years and years. And this is like their, I guess, their release. Like this is how they have fun. This is how they kind of disconnect from their own personal lives. And I thought that that was really cool. So after that, we kind of went upstairs and just, you know, like sat around. And so another rule of the club is that you can join in on anything that you want to, as long as you ask and they're okay with it. Obviously it's consensual, and you can look, you can watch someone have sex. If again, it's consensual, you just have to ask. And they're like, I think that's pretty much it. So there's different kind of rooms. So the BDSM room, and then there was like one that people were like playing Rock Band naked. Yes.
So this theme night was actually a naked rock band. So it was really wild. We ended up, there was like a lot of BDSM stuff that ended up happening that night. And Shirley had never seen anything like this. I have
never
before.
Seen anything like this.
So it was kind of like, it was almost like a show. So it was like 2 women. It was like, anyways, so it was a lot of whipping and stuff like that. So poor Charlie's sitting there, like with this horrified look on her face.
At this point in time, I did not realize that some people, and I'm totally fine. Like if this is what you're into, like 100%, you go for it, girl. But I didn't realize that you can get to a point, like some people really like pain
and that,
in sex because you get to a point where the pain turns into pleasure. And I didn't know this. So I was sitting there completely fucking terrified because this girl's getting whipped and, you know, like with like a paddle and stuff. And one of the, so this was obviously like a show going on. And one of the girls that was sitting in the hot tub with us, she came to sit next to me and she was like, "So you've never seen this before, right?" And I was like, "No." And she's like, "Honey, I know. You look like you're fucking terrified." And I was like, "I am terrified. Like, what? I don't know what's happening." And she went to explain to me, you know, like that you can get to a point in pain that it does turn into pleasure, and that, you know, there's a lot of like aftercare that happens in these circumstances. Yeah. And they've like, these 2 women in particular, they've been, you know, doing this for a long time, and it's like a, I don't remember what kind of a relationship it was. I don't remember what it was called. But they had like a very special kind of relationship, and you know, they did this quite often, and it was not weird to them, and it was not weird to anybody else there.
So it really like, and it really was, we didn't expect almost the sense of community that it was there. So, you know, these people willingly came and sat with Charlie and explained everything to her thoroughly so that she understood. And these were just guests. Like these were not workers or anything like that. Once we were done that, I think we ended up meeting, do you remember his name?
No, I can't remember his name.
Okay, he was this really sweet guy, and I don't even remember how we ended up talking to him. Anyways, but he was also into some BDSM stuff. So he ended up, like, he had a whole, like, BDSM kit with him.
And he was, like, explaining to us. Like, he took out his kit.
He, like,
and explained.
Sat with us for, like, an hour and just explained everything and was, like, let us, like, touch everything and was, like, if you want to try any of it on yourselves, like, you're welcome to. Like, it was a really cool experience for us to kind of learn that and everything. And another really big thing about this place is that there was no pressure to do anything sexual.
And I know that some of you might be thinking there and be like, oh my God, this is like making me so uncomfortable right now. And if this is making you uncomfortable, please, please don't listen. Like, I, you know, fully commit to that. You do not have to listen to the rest of the episode. This was just something that we really wanted to try. And because I never went through like the whole like partying phase, like sleeping with a bunch of different people, like my number is like six, I think.
Yeah.
We just like wanted to try it. And I thought that this would be really, really cool to try. So if you do not agree with it, 100% like support you, you don't need to agree with it.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was just really nice because like Molly was saying, it did give a sense of community. And not once did we ever feel uncomfortable during that night. And we were there for like a good like 4 hours, I would say.
Never felt uncomfortable, never felt pressured to do anything.
No, not at all.
Never felt. We did have some people come up to us and ask us, oh, are you guys here to play or are you just like
here to watch?
Here
like
to
just
watch,
visiting.
Whatever. And we just always said, we're like, we're not really sure. Like, it's our first time. We're just kind of hanging out. And they were always like, okay, no problem. If you like change your mind or want to talk or anything, like, just come find me. Right. So everybody was like very
open
and very kind and very respectful, I guess.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. Yeah. So we stayed there for a few hours and we pretty much saw everything.
Oh yeah.
I would say I thought that I listened to a quote unquote taboo porn because my entire life I've only ever listened to lesbian porn. And then I got there and I was like, wow, okay, I'm really vanilla. I'm like not wild at all, apparently. Like, but no, it was a great experience and we'll probably end up doing it again. Like probably bring like Josh and Joseph at this point. I'm sure that they would enjoy it too. If like, you know, if this is something that you'd be interested in doing, like I would definitely suggest checking it out. Like it was a very cool experience.
I don't think it's just Toronto. I think they have a few other clubs as well. Or am I wrong?
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
I thought they had a few others, but I could be really wrong about that.
I thought maybe they had one in Vancouver, but I'm not 100% sure.
Either way, there's one in Toronto.
Yes. So if you want to visit, you should definitely visit. We highly recommend it.
Maybe after Corona.
Okay. So yes, I don't think they're open right now anyway.
No.
So I don't know how you can have sex with someone being 6 feet apart, but you know, like it could be something that could happen.
Imagine you're having sex with your masks on. Don't touch each other.
Exactly. So let's like reel it back a little bit to lesbian porn. Let's talk about that for a second, because I always thought that I was weird when I was a kid, because that's the only kind of porn that I enjoyed watching. And apparently now, I only found this out like not that long ago, that women I can't remember what the statistic is, but I think it's like 80, somewhere in the 80% of women enjoy lesbian porn over straight porn or over any kind of other porn, like lesbian porn as a whole. And I was like, oh my God, what? Why? So I saw that statistic and I did a little bit of research, and apparently women like to watch other women do it to other women because they can relate. Mm-hmm. So they know what the feeling is. So when you're watching someone suck a dick, for example, you have no idea what that feels like. So it's not really, and first of all, let's just talk about how ugly penises are for a minute. Because penises are really ugly.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, like, so sorry to the guys that have penises or to anybody that identifies as a male that has a penis. Penises are just not like a great thing to look at, I feel like.
Not great.
No. But apparently mostly it's because when women are watching other women do it, they feel like they can relate And you probably, I feel like we talked about this before and you told me that you've only, that that's all you watch as well is lesbian porn. And that was like one of the things that we like, I feel like we bonded on like very early on.
I honestly, I don't think I have, so I have like, I have friends that are very comfortable talking about sex with me. I have friends that aren't as well, which is totally fine. But the friends who are comfortable talking about it with me, I think every single woman has said yes. Lesbian porn, like
lesbian porn is just great.
It is,
apparently.
It is.
it is what it is. Yeah,
and I think there's also almost like a stigma around porn with women. Like we all know that men watch porn. That's just like a thing. But I almost feel like it was kind of shameful for a while. Like I felt ashamed of watching porn. For quite a while.
I did too.
Yeah, I felt that it was something I had to keep a secret, that nobody should know about it, like it's not okay, yada yada yada. But I guess like meeting more friends and stuff who are more open about this, and kind of learning that like mostly everybody watches porn, like a very large number of people.
And let's just preface by saying we do not support human trafficking. We do not support sex trafficking. We do not support any of that. And I know that a lot of that comes from the porn industry. So we're just talking about porn as, I guess, like as a whole right now. I'm not really sure like how we would really describe that.
I guess we're talking about consensual.
Yes.
Porn. All like consensual ages,
yes,
all legal, all conscious,
exactly
everything we're talking about, like the good porn,
I guess, the good porn. Yes.
There's
okay,
the good porn and the bad porn, you know, the good porn, we're talking about the good porn. But yeah, I definitely felt some shame towards that, and I'm really thankful now that I don't feel shame towards that, because it is normal. It's completely normal to watch porn as a man or as a woman. I know there are people in relationships who aren't comfortable with their partner watching porn. And that's okay. That's okay
totally
if you're not
okay.
comfortable with that. That's just something you need to talk about in your relationship.
Absolutely.
And that's something that needs to be discussed. And that is something that needs to be explored. Why don't you want your partner to watch porn? What is the reason behind that? And I'm not saying that you need to change your mind or anything.
No, not at all.
I'm just saying you need to identify why you feel that way. Because I know in the start of my relationship, me and Joseph weren't having sex as often as I would have liked. But he was watching porn often. I'm so sorry, Joseph. You're going to hate me. but he was watching porn often. And I know that really, really upset me a lot. And this is in like the first 2 years of our relationship. And that really upset me a lot, because the thought behind it was, well, why aren't I good enough to have sex with, but he's fine with watching porn and other people have sex and yada, yada, yada. So that had to be, you know, a discussion that we sat down and we had, and that had to be a very open and honest discussion. And I had to, you know, explain to him why it hurt me that he was watching porn, and he had to explain to me, you know, why he was having a hard time with our sex life. And I mean, it was neither of our faults or anything, but it was a discussion that had to be had. And, you know, it made our relationship a lot better and a lot stronger, and it made our sex life a lot better.
And I found that too, like me and Josh have watched porn together too. And that's always been like, anytime we do, like it always, like, I feel like it elevates things. Like it just, it makes it a little spicier.
Yeah. See,
you know what I mean?
I find the opposite, actually.
Really?
I can't focus on the actual sex.
I guess that makes sense.
If there's porn. And I just, like, I feel like, I know this sounds funny, but like, almost like the rhythm of things and everything. If there's another
rhythm of things going on,
it's going to distract me. I don't know if that's like my ADHD talking or something, but like, I can't do two things at once.
That makes sense. That makes
a lot of sense. It's too much to like, you know what I mean? And I even think for myself, like if I were to go back to the sex club with Joseph, I don't know if I would be able to have sex with other people watching or other people having sex near me. I think that would just throw me off so much that I wouldn't be able to focus on the sex that I was having.
Yeah, for sure. And right? I totally understand that.
Yeah.
So honestly, like the sex club for us was really just like a fun experience. Even though we didn't do anything at all, we just kind of like walked around and was like, wow, this is cool. Wow, this is cool. This is so cool.
Pranks.
Yeah, basically.
It was really fun.
It was a lot of fun. So
it was fun.
So we had to take a break. because Molly just came out of the bathroom and said, my butthole hurts. I need a break. So we'll be right back. We're back. So something else that we really wanted to talk about as well is that when I was, I guess, like a preteen, like in that age, I felt like the sex ed class that I did have was really geared towards men's pleasure, how to make your man happy, how to, I guess it wasn't really how to make your man happy, but it wasn't, I felt like I didn't learn enough about the female body, the female anatomy, like what female pleasure is, self-discovery.
I feel like the most that I learned during sex ed about anything to do with women's pleasure is just like, you touch the clitoris and you come.
That's it. That's literally it. That's,
and you touch the clitoris and you achieve the orgasm.
Yeah.
Like that's it.
And
like
how
that's...
do you just like put your finger on it and that's it? Like, is it just like a button that activates it?
Like ma'am, please, what do you do?
I don't know. And I just, it wasn't talked about enough. And honestly, like, let me just say that my sex ed class in school, it was once a week and it was for a half an hour. That's it. So there really wasn't a lot that we could be talking about.
We just did like almost like a week where we had like an hour every day or like 45 minutes every day or like half, I don't know, something like that about like sex ed. But that was it. Like it was just like a little portion of every year.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
And I think it was only in grade 8, I mm-hmm. believe. It wasn't any other year. Like that was it. It was just mm-hmm. the one whatever part of the class. And that was it. You didn't really, you learned, I guess, like the anatomy of things. You learn like what gets a guy off, which I mean, for most guys, it's pretty simple. It's pretty basic. It's basically all the same. But with girls, I mean,
it's not the same at
all.
There's
so many different things. There's so many different
aspects that come into
aspects.
Play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, and I mean, I know that like some girls, can orgasm like very easily, without a lot of stimulation. And some girls can't. And I am one of the girls who can't. And I never, you know, I thought something was wrong with me for a mm-hmm. long time because I was like, well, why is it so easy for everybody else? And it's such a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was never something that was ever taught to us with the anatomy that like it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm. And something else that wasn't talked about either is masturbation.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is so important because when I was, I guess, like 11, 12 years old, like I was told that, and not my parents, like my parents never said this, but this was like a like generalized thing that like masturbation is taboo and yeah. guys are the only, you know, anybody that identifies as a male are the only people that masturbate and that's it. So I always felt yeah. weird even like trying to discover myself, like
yeah,
looking
true,
even like looking at my vagina. I thought that
like,
was weird.
Kind of like the same thing with porn, like it's just a thing that guys do.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah, exactly.
It's not something that women do, I guess. I guess it wasn't until like, oh my gosh, almost into my 20s
yeah.
when I really like figured out that like all women masturbate.
Yeah.
That was something.
Most women, not all women masturbate, but I like most women do.
Most people,
and it's
I
totally
guess.
Okay to masturbate. That's another
yeah.
thing too. Like it is okay. You should be masturbating because of the fact that you're discovering what pleases you. You're discovering your own pleasure.
And you're doing it for you, girl. Self-care.
And you're doing it for you.
Self-care.
Someone told me this, not that like probably like a few years ago that they, I think masturbated, they like to try to masturbate every day because they carried a lot of other people's energy throughout the day. And when they did masturbate, it was a release for them.
Interesting.
And I thought that that was like the most amazing explanation of masturbation ever.
That is really interesting.
Because we do carry people's energy throughout the day.
Yeah.
We carry a lot throughout the day. Yeah. We carry a lot on our shoulders. And when you do have an orgasm, it's a release.
It is a release, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought that that was a really good explanation.
That is really interesting. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you find when, I guess, because Molly had just had a baby not that long ago,
yeah.
back in April, did you find that your sex life before you had a baby, your sex life during your pregnancy, and your sex life postpartum has been different
okay.
at all?
So I guess, like, my whole entire sex life with Joseph has just been basically a disaster.
Wow. That's a way to describe it. I hope you're listening, Joseph.
Not because of Joseph. So when we first met, I had never taken birth control before. I'd never been on birth control before. And that was basically that. So when I did decide, I guess probably like 6 months into our relationship, 6 months to a year into our relationship, I did decide like, okay, I do want birth control. Like this is going to be long term. Like I would like birth control. So I ended up getting the Mirena IUD. It's so hard. My sex drive before the Mirena was pretty normal, pretty standard, pretty good to go. And then my sex drive after I got the Mirena, it just kind of plummeted, I guess. Mm. And I didn't know because I had the Mirena for almost 5 years. And I just thought in my head that like my sex drive just disappeared. Maybe it was my antidepressants. Maybe it was, you know what I mean? Like I didn't.
Also, no one fucking tells you this. No one tells you that your sex drive will probably plummet when you get on birth control.
Yeah. And so I didn't know. And I just thought like it was just how I was. You know what I mean? And I always felt guilty for not wanting to have sex very often. And I always felt, you know, super bad about it. And I really struggled with it. Another thing that the Mirena did to me that I didn't realize until I got it removed was it made me so dry. It did not matter how much lube that we used. It was still so dry. And that doesn't make sex enjoyable at all.
No, of course not. And I think a lot of people feel shame in having to use lube. Like a lot of women feel shame in having to lose. Oh my God. Lube is literally the best fucking thing ever. Lube is amazing.
It is. But anyways, so I didn't realize that it was my Mirena causing all of these things until I ended up getting it removed last summer. And the reason I got it removed is because it was close to expiring and our wedding was coming up. And we knew that after the wedding, we probably wanted to start trying to have a child. So I got it removed and it was almost instant. Like I had a period a couple days after it was removed, which I hadn't had a period the whole time I had it. And I had a period a couple days after it was removed and all of a sudden my sex drive just like went from 0 to 100, and that's how I got pregnant.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that is how it happens.
That is how you get pregnant.
What is that
line from Mean Girls? Don't have sex, you'll get pregnant and die.
That's what happened to me. So anyways, yeah, my sex drive went from like 0 to 100 and I clued in. I was like, oh my God, like it was my Mirena this whole time, like screaming everything up because all of a sudden I wasn't dry anymore. I was enjoying sex so much. I wanted to have sex all the time. Like I felt normal again, I guess, for me, like my normal. And then, yeah, I think, you know, because we used protection for the first, oh my God, week or two that I didn't have the Mirena. And then we decided, we were like, well, you know, it takes a while to make a baby. Like most people don't get it first try. Like the wedding's in 2 months. So that gives us a really good head start.
I remember her calling me and being like, so like I'm getting off birth control. I was like, so you're getting pregnant right fucking now? And she was like, no, Charlie, it's going to take like at least a year. I was like, no, you're going to get pregnant right now.
Yeah. And then I got pregnant, what, not even a month after I got off of it. So pretty instant. So I ended up being 7 weeks pregnant at my wedding.
And I don't think you guys, if you haven't met Molly while she's pregnant, you don't know who she is as a person when she's pregnant. She is a fucking savage. She literally does not give a shit what anybody thinks. She walks into a room and she's like, where's my fucking ice cream?
Yup. I mean, if anybody even looked at me the wrong way while I was pregnant, like I would burn their houses down.
I'm not like, I very much want her to have more kids, but me and Joseph, both of us, we are not ready for pregnant Molly again.
I'm not ready for pregnant Molly. It sucked.
And it was instant for you. Like as soon as you had the baby, I remember talking to you on the phone and I was like, oh my God, like how did it go? And you were like there was literally a change in your voice.
Yes.
Like yeah. If I would have asked you like while you were pregnant, how long, and you're like, I asked you after, like when you had the baby, I was like, how did it go? And you're like, just feel pure bliss. I just love her so much. And I was like, who is this person?
Yeah, pregnancy was bad. So anyways, as you can imagine, my sex drive during pregnancy was horrifyingly awful. I didn't want Joseph to look at me. I didn't want him to talk to me. I didn't want him to touch me. I didn't want him near me. If he breathed, I screamed. It was really bad. I really couldn't help it. I really did not enjoy myself during that time frame. But the hormones are a bitch. So anyways, after I had the baby, I guess my hormones were they're very up and down for, you know, at least 2 months afterwards. So it was like, it was very much so like 1 week I'd be like, okay, like I'm ready to have sex. Like, can't wait for that 6 week mark when we get the go ahead, like I'm prepared. And then the next week I'd be like, I don't ever want to be touched again. So that was a bit hard. We did kind of try at the 6 week mark. But it was still extremely painful, obviously, because I tore, as most people do during childbirth. So we just, like, eased into things as much as we could. And I think it was probably only at, like, the 2.5, maybe 3 month mark. So It hasn't even been long that we actually started really having sex again. So, yeah, I guess it's really only been, like, a month and a half area that we've actually been having sex.
Did that take a toll on your mental health at all?
I don't think it did, because you're so wrapped up in the baby.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
It did. It definitely made me a little stressed, because I, you know, the panic of like, oh my God, well, what if it always hurts?
Yeah.
What if my sex drive doesn't come back?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was definitely some stress and anxiety attached to that. But things did return to normal, and things are obviously normal. I didn't know – nobody ever tells you this, but to fully heal from childbirth, it takes 24 months.
Oh, wow.
For your body and everything to completely heal, which I – has anybody ever told anybody that? I didn't know that. I didn't know that until I looked up when should you have another baby after you've already had a baby. And it was like, yeah, it takes 24 months for your body to heal. So, I mean, you kind of have to have some grace and some patience with yourself. Mm-hmm. And your partner needs to have some grace.
I was just going to say that. Your partner definitely does. And I think Joseph really did for the most part. Like
he struggled with it because, I mean, the poor guy didn't get sex the whole pregnancy. Like, just barely. Like, it, like, barely. Like, I remember, like, the last 2 months, like, the last month, I guess, it would be like, okay, like, 2 minutes in and out just to try to jumpstart childbirth. Like, that's it. Like, don't. That's it.
He was like, okay, let's do it.
And I'd be like, sure. But the poor guy was a little deprived. So he struggled with it. And it was something that we both kind of had to work through together and, you know, have some grace with each other and have some patience with each other. Because I could understand where he was coming from. You know, he really... really wanted to have sex with his wife. I get it. That's fine. And he was, and let me just say this, ladies, if you have a baby and your man is not like all fucking over you afterwards and just so in awe of you, leave his ass. because like I had almost doubled my weight during pregnancy. I didn't feel great about myself right after having a baby because, I mean, your vagina's torn open. You look like a deflated balloon. It is what it is, right? I didn't feel great.
I asked her if I could see it, and she didn't want to let me see it because she didn't even look at it herself.
I didn't look at it. But the stitches were tucked in, so Joseph looked at it and said you couldn't tell. Okay. So that was fine. But anyways, I have never seen him so obsessed with my body. Like, literally,
hallelujah.
Yeah, I love it. Like, literally 2 weeks after childbirth, like, he was just like, I can't even look at you. Like, I just want to destroy you. Like, you know what I mean? And he was just like, so, and he still is, obviously. But, and you know, his thing was always like, you just had my baby. Like, I will never be more attracted to you than I am right now.
Mm.
And that was, I mean, that was definitely a big confidence boost.
Yes. Oh my
For
God.
Sure.
I spoke to someone once before that said that, you know, she was really struggling because they were struggling in their sex life because like she had just had a baby and her boyfriend at the time, like, didn't feel comfortable with her new body. And I was like, what the fuck?
Go fuck yourself.
Like, seriously. Literally, this woman just pushed out your fucking kid.
And here's the thing. Men, partners, whoever. Even if you're looking at her body and you're like, oh, okay, like, you look like a deflated balloon, because you do. You just had a baby. It comes out. You still got, you know what I mean? Anyways, it's fine. Even if you're looking at it like that, you know what you're going to fucking say? You're going to tell her that she's fucking beautiful. You're going to tell her she did a fucking amazing job. You're going to tell her she's attractive. You're going to tell her you love everything about her. And then you're going to work on it yourself if you don't love it. You're going to say, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to adjust myself. But don't tell her that. What the fuck?
Christ.
No, keep your fucking mouth shut. Even if you're, she just had your baby. Like, she just had your baby.
Exactly.
Like, that's not your place to tell
her
that
she just had your baby. She deserves an Oscar.
Right?
Like, oh, also, I just heard that this is a thing and I didn't realize that this was a thing. Apparently, you get a push gift. Apparently, you're supposed to get a push gift.
Oh, it's like when your partner gives you like a gift after you have
the baby.
Okay, so where's my fucking gift, Joseph?
Right? Like, I was like, I didn't realize that this is a thing, but any reason for me to get a gift.
Right?
I'm like, I want a Tiffany necklace. Like, that's what I want for pushing out your kid.
I mean, I'd be happy with just like a bottle of wine. So whatever.
I'll take a bottle of your most expensive wine, yeah, please. Your most expensive wine.
But yeah, anyway, so our sex life definitely, I mean, it's had its moments, its ups and downs. And I guess right now, like, it's not the best that it's ever been, but it's getting back to that. Mm-hmm.
Do you find that when you're at your busiest, like when you're in like the middle of wedding season, that you feel kind of like disconnected? You feel like
a little bit almost, just because, like, I mean, you work, and that's kind of where I am right now. I mean, it's not technically my wedding season because I didn't really have many weddings this year. I only had a few. But it is really busy. I'm shooting every day, at least once a day, if not twice a day. Mm-hmm. And so you're exhausted at the end of it.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that was a thing, because last year Josh had moved home from China in June, and I didn't want to fuck him ever. And it's not like, I fucking love this guy. Like, I would kill for him. I would die for this guy. But I didn't want to have sex ever. And I thought that there was something wrong with me. But I realized later, I was so exhausted. I was in the middle of a burnout. I felt like when, you know, like back in August of last year, like I was in the middle of a burnout. My mental health wasn't great. I wasn't having a good time. And that definitely affects your sex life.
It absolutely does. And I know when I'm at my busiest, like I definitely struggle. I'm so tired. And I'm just like, could you just rub my feet and not talk to me? Like, you're exhausted. Because I mean, what you have to think is that, you know, I guess like a normal Monday to Friday or 9-to-5 job or whatever, you go, you work the day, you come home, it's done. When you're a business owner, that's not how it works.
No, we're always working.
And especially when it's your busy season, you go from, you know, working 25 hours a week to all of a sudden you're working 50 to 60 hours a week every week for 3 months straight with no break. Like, that takes a huge toll on you, and it can take a toll on your relationship too. And I think if you do have a job like that, or if you do have a job that, you know, is a 9-to-5 and it's demanding and you struggle with it, and, you know, during the weekdays you just don't want to have sex, I mean, just communicate that with your partner.
Yeah, exactly.
Communicate that and work it out and figure out kind of what you can do. Is there other things you can do other than sex to keep you intimate with each other?
And I found that was really difficult for me to communicate with Josh last year, because I didn't want him, like, we were supposed to be in like the quote unquote honeymoon phase. We were supposed to be like fucking like bunnies.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? He had just gotten home. We weren't doing long distance anymore. Like, it was going to be a great time. But when he got home, I was smack in the middle of my wedding season, and I traveled a lot during my, I guess, like my busiest time last year. So anytime that I'd come home, I'd be jet lagged, and then I would still be jet lagged and have to go to another wedding. And there was just no thought of me having sex. Like, there was no, I was not horny by any means.
No.
I didn't even want to masturbate. Like, I didn't want to do anything. I mean,
when your body's that exhausted.
I was just exhausted, and I found it hard to communicate it with him because I didn't want him to feel like I didn't want him.
Yeah. And that's always hard too. And like, me and Joseph still struggle with, like, when I'm going through a busy or hard time, and I am just not into it, he still struggles with well, do you?
Is it because of me?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, vice versa as well. If he's going through a rough time and he's just not into it, it's always in the back of your head. Well, is it because of me?
Exactly.
And that's where open communication is so, so important. Oh my God, about your absolutely. Sex life. If you can't openly communicate about your sex life with your partner, then you're not with the right partner.
Exactly. I always felt like that too.
Not in the right relationship. You're not with the right person.
I've always felt like it's more hot to me to talk about sex than the actual act of sex. I feel like there's just something so like developing this connection with this person and being able to talk with them, like sit down and actually like in depth talk with them about your turn-ons and your turn-offs and, you know, like what's your kinks? Like, what do you like, what, you know what I mean? Like, just being able to sit down and
I feel like with me and Joseph, we got together so young, we didn't know any of this stuff about ourselves when we met each other. We did not, like, I didn't know, I barely even knew I liked women at that point in time. I had an idea, I already slept with a woman, but I mean, whatever, is what it is. I was just like, it was just for fun, whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, realize all that. So while we've been together, you know, in the course of the time we've been together, you know, I've discovered, you know, I'm bisexual, pansexual, whatever I want to call it. I'm attracted to whoever I'm attracted to, whenever, which isn't a thing that I go around. I mean, I'm in a long-term relationship with a man, so that's not like something I just go around, you know, openly
advertising.
You know, I didn't realize that. I didn't know what my turn-ons were. I didn't know what my kinks were. I didn't know what I enjoyed for sex. And I still am rediscovering that, and we're still discovering that about ourselves and about each other. Like, we still find things that like we didn't know about each other sexually. Even now, almost 7 years in, there's still things where I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. And to be able to be in a comfortable environment to explore all those things has been a life changing.
Yeah.
It's been great because, you know, otherwise I do believe that like having a life partner and the sex with them, whether you're having sex with other people or not, the sex with them, I believe, should always be the best. But I do believe that it should be something that you're constantly working on to make better, which I know like sounds weird, but it should be
because once you plateau, once you get to that point that it's not going to get any better, sometimes it can get boring.
It can. And I think that like always working towards like even different goals of sex, and we're going to get into something, I guess, super personal here, even more personal than what we've been getting into. The first time me and Joseph had sex after I had the baby, we went away for the night together, and we didn't have the baby, so nobody panic. we went away and we got like a room with a jacuzzi and whatever. And I know, like, I've mentioned this to some people, some friends, and they've been like, okay, that's weird. Set like weird rules for yourself, like whatever. But for us, it really, really worked. So I find with me, if I'm feeling pressured for him to come or for me to come during sex, I don't enjoy it that much because my thought is just, okay, let's come. So I didn't want to do that anymore. I don't want that anymore. I don't want the goal of our sex to be an orgasm. I just wanted to be a part of the sex. So we kind of made a rule that, you know, we got to the place we were staying around, I think 5 or 6 p.m. after supper. And we decided like we will be sexual with each other all night, whatever, but we are not having actual sex until past 9 p.m. and we are not going to have an orgasm until after 9 p.m., which sounds really weird. I know a lot of people are like, you're setting weird rules for your sex, but the amount of pressure that it took off of us, and like honestly, it was just a couple hours worth of foreplay and drinks and snacks and in the jacuzzi. It was so great. It was like literally phenomenal.
I love that.
Yeah. And it's such a weird thought, but ever since then, it's been like in my head that like the goal of sex should not be an orgasm. That should just be a part of the sex.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that's kind of almost
changed things for us. Mm. Yeah. So that was.
I love that. And like foreplay is really important too.
It is. Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love a good quickie. Like 30 oh, yeah. seconds.
Sometimes
like,
wham, you gotta
bam.
Do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes
30 seconds. Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. Like, don't get me wrong. I fucking love those too. But like foreplay can just elevate literally everything.
Yeah. Cause when you have the time to do it, it's great. I mean, now that we have a child, the time that we have to do it is after she goes to bed, which is, you know, after 9 p.m. usually at that point, I just want to go to sleep. But, you know, we do try to take, you know, afternoons here and there for ourselves, whatever. But, I mean, if you got to do a quickie, you got to do a quickie. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
We got busy lives. You got to do what you got to do.
I love that. Well, I think we're coming to an end, but I want to thank you again for coming on this episode. Again, like it, I didn't even ask her. She literally just sat here and was like, I'm going to be on your podcast episode this week. And that's totally fine because it's probably going to happen more than once in the next coming months. So you will hear her voice quite a few times coming up. But yeah, so I hope that you guys really enjoyed this episode. It was very raw, very real. We talked about a lot in this episode. So please don't criticize us too hard. But hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Happy Tuesday. Day. You guys already know where you can find Molly. I'm going to put it in the show notes regardless, but I don't even think she needs to mention it because you'll see it in the post for this week. Happy Tuesday, guys. I hope you enjoyed the episode.